What did Jesus mean when he said, "I am the bread of life"? That's what we're going to explore, and it's going to be exciting on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this great radio show. So you've caught us at the early stages of a brand new series that we're calling 100 Faith Alone Verses. And it is based on a book by our very own Dr. Bob Wilkin. Speaking of which, let's go right to today's discussion. This is Grace in Focus.
Welcome back to the show. My name's Sean, and I'm here with Bob Wilkin. And we're discussing a future book that he's going to be publishing sometime this summer. It's called 100 Faith Alone Verses. Pretty much that title describes what this book is about.
It does. 100 Faith Alone Verses, and what this is about is verses. I only take one out of the Old Testament, but I have 99 out of the New Testament, and I show how they say that the only condition, the only thing we must do is believe in Jesus Christ for our salvation, for justification, for everlasting life.
So what's the purpose of this book? What do you hope to achieve?
Multiple purposes. The main purpose, of course, is to give believers verses which will help them as they share their faith with other people. But secondarily, I want to help believers with verses that undergird their assurance, so that if they ever go through times where they're getting confused by some preaching they hear, they can come and remember, oh, wait a minute, no, here's 100 verses that say it's faith alone. And this is also something you can use to help others who are struggling with assurance. So it's both evangelism and assurance, but it's also, I think, something important as a reference that we have on our shelf to go, oh, yeah, let me go over some of those faith alone verses, because we've often heard it said there are 100 verses that teach this,
right?
But we don't have the list. Well,
right.
Not only am I giving the list, but I'm giving an explanation, and I'm quoting leading commentators who don't always agree with every aspect of what we're saying, but they do agree with the key aspect that faith alone is what's involved in these verses.
Oh, interesting. And by the way, I think this grew out of an article that you wrote in the magazine, Grace in Focus, and you can find it at our website, faithalone.org. And there, you don't offer a whole lot of explanation. You more or less just list the verses. And
right.
I think that would be helpful to begin for anyone who's interested. Well, we're going to go over one of your chapters today. We're going to look at John chapter 6, verse 35. And here's what it says. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst."
Okay, now John 6 is a pretty famous chapter because this is where the great sign of Jesus walking on water occurs. And it's also the great sign where he feeds 5,000. So you have two of the signs from John's gospel in the same chapter. He feeds the 5,000, and the people follow him across the lake, and they're looking for more bread. They're wanting a constant supply of bread, like the manna in the wilderness for 40 years.
Right.
Well, they're, hey, can we have a regular supply of this bread? You provided it for one meal. How about every meal?
Right.
And so they're following him for that. And Jesus is now in what's called the bread of life discourse.
Okay.
And when he gets to verse 35, he's bringing in the message, the faith alone message, that whoever believes in him, that is, whoever partakes of the bread of life, will never hunger. You'll remember in John chapter 4, he talked to the woman at the well.
Yes.
And he says, look, you drink this water from Jacob's well, and you're going to thirst again.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, of course, I come here every day to draw.
Yeah.
And he says, but you drink the living water that I'm going to give, you'll never thirst again.
Mm-hmm.
This was a statement of eternal security.
Mm.
Same thing with the bread of life. You eat regular bread, you're going to hunger again. You eat the bread of life, you'll never hunger again. And
right.
So that's what John 6:35 is headed toward.
So I am the bread of life. Is there any, sometimes you hear whenever Jesus says, I am, there's significance to that.
Right. Well, there are seven I am statements in John's gospel. And I am the bread of life is not a compound one. Some of them are compound, like I am the resurrection and life, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm-hmm.
But here it's just a straight statement, I am the bread of life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a powerful statement because bread, of course, is the means of sustenance. Remember Jesus, when he was tempted by Satan, said, man shall not live by bread alone?
Right.
Well, bread was the means of sustenance. For 40 years in the wilderness, Israel was sustained by manna. What is it? It was a type of bread. And so for 40 years, God sustained them with bread. The bread of life means the bread that results in life. And the life he's talking about here is everlasting life.
Right. Now, I can hear my Catholic and Orthodox friends going to this verse and saying, see, Jesus is talking about the Eucharist. You have to take the Eucharist in order to have eternal life. This is the medicine of immortality is what they call it. If you eat the bread of life, which is the Eucharist, which is the Lord's Supper, then you will be saved.
Well, one of the problems they have is your Catholic and Orthodox friends believe that you're saved temporarily, but you can lose it.
Right.
And you go and you take the bread again, either the next day or the next week or the next month.
Right.
And you get saved again.
Right.
And on and on. And if you happen to die out of fellowship with God and you don't get last rites, then you're toast, right?
Right.
What this says is once we partake of the bread of life, we'll never hunger.
Mm.
Now, the funny thing is the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, does remind us that Jesus is the bread of life.
Right.
But when we take of the wafer, we should not be thinking, oh, now I'm getting born again.
Mm.
We should be thinking, Jesus died for me, and I am so grateful that he has given me the gift of everlasting life by virtue of his sacrifice at Calvary.
You're saying that it's a memory help. It's a memory aid, not a sacrament.
In 1 Corinthians 11, Paul cites Jesus as saying, do this in remembrance of me. So yes, it's a memory link. Both the cup and the wafer are memory aids. Do this in remembrance of me. It's the memorial view of the Lord's Supper.
Right. And seeing the Eucharist in this chapter wouldn't make any sense anyways, because
it didn't exist.
It didn't exist at this time.
Right.
It's not at all in the context. No one would have understood what Jesus was saying if that's what he was talking about.
Right. I mean, some people, especially pagans, have thought Jesus was talking about, you know, actually literally eating his flesh and drinking his blood.
Right.
Which actually is the view of transubstantiation,
right?
That this becomes his body and becomes his blood.
Right.
But that's not the biblical view, and it's not even consubstantiation, which I don't understand, but there's some actual presence, the Lutheran would say,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, there's some real presence, but maybe not the
metaphysical. But it's not actually his body and blood,
changes,
but
yeah,
it's something different. It's the memory of his body, and it's the memory of his blood.
And anyways, that's not what he's talking about here. He's just using the figure of bread.
He's using the figure of bread.
Because he just performed this miracle.
Right, and bread is what sustains physical life, just
right,
like the water in John 4 sustains physical life. But what Jesus is saying is, look, I'm a different kind of water. I'm a different kind of bread.
Yeah.
Instead of having to drink, 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 eat, eat, eat in order to sustain your life, once you partake of me, once you drink of me, once you partake of me, you'll never hunger, you'll never thirst.
Right. And so, and that's really significant, the never.
Yeah, he says, he who comes to me shall never hunger. And then he takes away the figure of speech and says, he who believes in me shall never thirst. And so these are some very strong statements of the fact of eternal security. And when it says never, in Greek, it's very, very strong. When it says, let's see, John 6:35, shall never hunger, it's ou me. It's a double negative.
Yeah.
Ou is no, me is no.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not never. I mean, it's never going to happen. And the same thing, ou me is also used before the thirsting. So it's saying, look, this is never, ever, ever going to happen.
So what I see in this verse is an illustration of something we talked about in the last episode. John, in his gospel, emphasizes believe, and he uses the verb believe 99 to 100 times.
Right.
But then he, you know, like any good writer, he wants to change up the imagery a little bit and uses metaphors for believing, and so does Jesus. And in this verse, you really see a bunch of different metaphors for believing, right? The idea of Jesus being the bread of life implies that eating is,
right,
is a metaphor of believing. He talks about shall never thirst, implying that drinking is a metaphor for believing.
Right.
And then he says, he who comes to me. So that's another
metaphor.
And he clarifies what all those actually mean, and he who believes in me. So the believing is the key thing. That's what all these metaphors refer to.
Yeah, now Lenski, R.C.H. Lenski, in his commentary on John, says that eating and drinking in both John 4 and John 6 are metaphors for faith in Christ that lead to everlasting life. And Harry Ironside, H.A. Ironside, he famously was a very strong advocate of the faith alone message, and he said this about this verse: "But sad it is that no matter how clearly the message is given, very few believe."
Right.
And that was true on this day.
Mm-hmm.
Most of Jesus' audience rejected what he was saying. What he's saying is very clear. And as you say, he's saying it in several different ways. He is the source of everlasting life. I'm the bread of life.
Mm-hmm.
If you come to him, that is in faith, you believe in him, you're never going to hunger. It's not you're going to hunger a little. You know, you're going to have life, and it's going to stay with you for at least a week.
Right, right.
No, this life is forever life, and once you get it, you've got it. "And he who believes in me shall never thirst."
Mm-hmm.
And this never hungering and never thirsting are extremely emphatic.
Mm-hmm.
These are strong statements of what we call eternal security, which I've often said is much better than social security. You're what, Sean, 41?
Yes.
41 people aren't going to get any social security,
right? We're
not
going to get any, right? It's all going to collapse.
It's all going to collapse. I mean, I hate to say that. But the truth is, unless somebody is over 55, they're probably not going to get it.
Right.
Eternal security, however, is totally secure forever.
Mm-hmm.
God stands behind it, and God cannot lie. And so when Jesus, who is God, says, "He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst," you can take it to the bank. It's true. It's certain. It's absolutely secure. And so you and I know we have everlasting life, not because we're good people and not because we deserve it and not because of anything we've done, simply because we believe on the one who is the bread of life and the one who is the water of life.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion on another of those 100 faith alone verses. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about whether or not the Jews and the Gentiles are saved the same way. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.